Blog Talk Radio.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Hopefully y'all are hearing me. Yeah, that's a good idea, Rod. I hate this headset. Hopefully you guys can hear me. Perfect. As I was saying, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour and for my phone to ring in the background and my lovely bride to make the rescue. Patriot Families brings you the Constitution Hour tonight, Monday night. That's patriotfamilieswithays.com. Now, I do apologize if I'm a little slow on the uptake tonight. I've been out of the loop for a week, and today was my first day back at work with a new company and a new operating system. It's been interesting, to say the least. But I did see one story that kind of caught my eye. And I wanted to, yes, I'm back. I wanted to jump right into this story. I'm sure most of you have heard it or read about it. Teen who wanted to join ISIS arrested at Chicago airport. A suburban Chicago teen trying to join ISIS was arrested at O'Hare International Airport trying to board a flight to Istanbul, Turkey. Now, boys and girls, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm fairly sure that the last time I checked, it was not illegal to fly to Istanbul, Turkey. Yes, you may say, but he was trying to do something bad. He was going to join ISIS. And you know what we do to people who have the idea of committing a crime before they actually commit it? Well, we put them in jail. We incarcerate them, we put them on trial, and we lock them away for just as long as we can. Now, interestingly enough, I'm going to read you this, because what this young man was charged with committing, the crime he's charged with committing, falls under Title 18, Chapter 113B, Section 2339B. And I want you to listen to what he's being charged with doing and see if you think this might possibly apply to anyone in Washington, D.C. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just going out on a limb here. Prohibited activities, unlawful conduct. Whoever knowingly provides material support or resources to a foreign terrorist organization or attempts or conspires to do so shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 15 years or both. And if death of any person results, shall be imprisoned for a term of years or for life. To violate this paragraph, a person must have knowledge that the organization is a designated terrorist organization, as defined in subsection G6, that the organization has engaged or engages in terrorist activity, as defined in section 212A3B of the Immigration and Nationality Act, or that the organization has engaged or engages in terrorism, as defined in section 140D2 of the Foreign Relations Authorization Act, fiscal year 1988 and 89. Do you suppose, ladies and gentlemen, that any of your esteemed congressmen, your Secretary of State, Ms. Clinton, your president, or your Vice President, Joseph Biden, do you suppose that any of those up in Washington, D.C. might fit that description? Oh, it gets much better, Mr. Luke. You mentioned the IRS. Let's see, financial institutions. Except as authorized by the secretary, evidently the secretary can authorize them, any financial institution that becomes aware that it has possession of or control over any funds in which a foreign terrorist organization or its agent has an interest shall retain possession of or maintain control over such funds and report to the secretary the existence of such funds in accordance with the regulations issued by the secretary. Any financial institution that knowingly fails to comply with this subsection will be given a $50,000 fine per violation, or twice the amount of which the financial institution was required under subsection A2 to retain possession or control of. You know, you really can't make this up. I've talked about this ad nauseum, the fact that the law seems to apply differently to different people. The 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, well, it certainly seems to me that some people are more equal than others. Specifically, if they have congressman next to their name, senator next to their name, president, vice president, Secretary of State, ambassador, or any other letter of mark. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely asinine. Hey, Mikey, glad you could join us, sir. I listened to your program from Thursday in the archives, and I did enjoy it, and it was interesting to hear the guys from Texas talking about the international court. And you know, I'm going to chase a rabbit trail here for a moment. One of the things that we talk about in recognizing a state or nation, a government, is the sovereignty of said government. But if, I got to ask, if the existence of the state or a government relies at least in part on the recognition of some international body, can you truly say that that state or government is a sovereign? It just doesn't appear to me that that government would be a sovereign if they're relying on recognition from another governing body. Seems kind of counterintuitive to me. But I understand these are the rules of the game that we are left to play. But isn't it interesting? And I'm confused and concerned. Why is it the federal serfs or citizens in the United States, why in the hell aren't they writing and calling their congressmen and senators demanding reciprocity? Never mind that this young man in Chicago, and I completely disagree with his ideology and siding with Islam, don't mistake me for a moment, but in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. And as near as I can tell, the young man did not give any support to ISIS other than verbally, wistfully. He gave no support. He was planning on leaving the country. Are we no longer free to leave? You mean to tell me that you're not free to leave this country if the state believes that your ultimate motive is to go and side with the enemy of the state? You don't have that right? Just kind of curious. You know, surely they could have found a bomb to strap on that kid. And, you know, he'd have got his 72 virgins, right? A bomb that was made in the USA or had the materials come from the USA, provided for by the U.S. taxpayers. You know, the citizens. Those people from the land of the free, the home of the brave. It's absolutely deplorable. It's ridiculous. I can't remember how many years ago it was that, you know, I used to tell people, this is the land of the fee and the home of the slave. And it's true. It's absolutely true. Now, many people don't like to think that. They don't like the reality that causes. Doesn't make it any less real or any less true. You know, perhaps if we would exercise our sovereignty, that just say no policy, then maybe we could have curtailed some of this activity. But I don't think so. As Rod so correctly has pointed out in the chat, people are asleep. And they've been asleep. I've been reading a book. I know you guys have been doggedly listening to my diatribe on money for a few years now, at the very least. And, you know, it's getting close to the final countdown. And we've talked about a couple of nations or governments out there that have been stockpiling gold. And there's been a lot of chit-chat and hand-wringing over the accumulation of gold by some of these countries like China, India, Russia, and others. But you know, if you stop and think about it, she's right over there, honey, and my little grandson Logan coming in. If you were the banker for the central bankers, if you were the top of the heap for the monetary system, the world monetary system, and you wanted the other players like China and India and Russia, but truly China and Russia, they're a couple of big players. If you wanted them to participate in that system that you had envisioned, don't you think you would certainly want to make sure that everyone was forewarned and everyone was on equal footing based on their gross domestic product, so that when you revalue the new currency, they don't get left out in the weeds. They don't get left behind. See, because if you were going to try and start a new monetary system, one where, oh, you know, you were going to stick it to your neighbors that you didn't like maybe China or Russia, well, they probably wouldn't want to go along with that. They've had their fill of that system already, called the U.S. dollar. So, you know, you'd want to make sure that you had it structured in such a way that they would be willing participants. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is precisely what I believe has been going on, that they are allowing, not just allowing, but waiting for the Russians and the Chinese to accumulate a specified amount of bullion reserves that is equivalent to a percentage of their GDP, their gross domestic production. And the purpose for that is they want all the big players to have roughly the same percentage of gold reserves to GDP, and then we will have the gold-backed SDR that we've heard spoken about previously. And with that gold-backed SDR, that's a special drawing right. So this will be administered by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Pardon me while I take a sip of my Woodford Reserve here. Oh, man, that's good stuff. It will be operated by the IMF and the World Bank. And in that way, what we can do is we can have the SDR 50% backed by gold. Now, you get the 50% number by taking the amount of reserve value that you want to have in your new monetary system, 50% instead of 10%, you know, 50%. That way everyone will be happy and satisfied that it's a 50-50 deal. If you take that 50% number and you look at the GDP, yeah, Roger, welcome to have some. I'll pour it through the headset for you, sir. If you look at the GDP of the biggest economies, the European Union, the United States, China, Russia, and England, and Japan, what you'll see is that at 50%, you're going to have an approximate value of $9,000 per ounce for an ounce of gold. Now, the SDRs will be the standard, and everyone else's currency will be pegged to the SDR. Therefore, the only person able to manipulate the valuation of currencies in that system will be the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Effectively, no government will be able to devalue its currency individually against another currency. as we see today, as you've heard me say, we're in a race to the bottom, because every time the U.S. bastardizes its currency a little further, all the trading partners in the world have to devalue their currency by an equal amount just to remain on level ground when it comes to international trade. So in this way, everyone would be tied to the SDR, and only the IMF would have control over altering the gold fix, the price fix of currencies. And there would have to be a supermajority vote to even issue new SDRs. These SDRs would be issued based on an increase in GDP. That's the only way a country would get more currency allowance, basically. Oh, no, they could print all of the money they wanted, Rod. They could print gobs of money. The problem is, it wouldn't change the value of the currency one iota. They would just create a glut of money in their own system. But, well, they actually could go into bankruptcy. And, you know, when you think about it, it's the same system, or nearly the same system, that we had prior to the Bretton Woods Agreement, or during the Bretton Woods Agreement, except for in this case, instead of the United States being the one fixing the prices, it would be an unelected, unaccountable body of bureaucrats from different countries. And they, and they alone, would have control over the economy of every nation in the system. Never mind that you would still have a dollar and a yuan and a yen. Everyone would, locally, you know, it looks the same. You still got your currency. That's exactly what we did to Japan and the other countries after World War II. It's no different. Yeah, they got to keep their currencies. Absolutely. Well, it would be universal because it's all redeemable for the exact same thing. It's all equal. Everybody would be at par. They would all be valuated based on their GDP. It's not a terribly complex system. I think it probably could work, but we go a step further because, again, you have yet again removed the power of money from the wage earner, and in this case with the IMF, it would be removing it from the marketplace. The IMF would dictate the market. I just don't think... Oh, well, it's easy. You know, they'll accept dollars. That's the thing. All currencies would be redeemable for other currencies at face value, one for one. One yen, $1, one yuan. So you could pay off your trade balance with another country in any currency. It really wouldn't matter. It would not matter because you could always go to the IMF and exchange that country's currency for SDRs. So it's all tied back to the gold valuation, and not to the dollar. It's really not terribly complex, but it sure doesn't give me a warm fuzzy just contemplating the bureaucracy that would be put in place. And the major countries would have a percentage of representation at the IMF based on, again, their GDP. Although China's been squawking for a while that they want more influence, because as it stands right now, the United States has a majority vote. If the U.S. says no, then it doesn't get done. And you know, that alienated a lot of countries out there. And quite honestly, the system that we're under and have been under since World War II and altered slightly in 1971 to 75 by Richard Milhouse Nixon, it's really put all the other countries in the world at a distinct disadvantage. And we have absolutely printed our way to apparent prosperity, but in doing so, we have offshored our inflation. Well, because, Rod, it's really simple. They would accept your overprinted currency because they know that the regulatory agency, the IMF, settle your account in SDR. It's really quite simple. And if you print $1 trillion in new currency, everybody has to print $1 trillion in new currency. You cannot independently print additional money. Everybody, it would be groupthink on an economic scale. That's the plan. That's the idea. And we're not very far from it, to be quite honest. When I read about the recent gold acquisitions in China and Russia, that aside, China and Russia, what do you mean, how will the bank get its money back? The bank's going to get money. It doesn't matter if the bank gets yen or Chinese yuan or dollars. They'll just exchange it with a Chinese bank. It's one for one. It's just a strip of paper for a strip of paper. It's a book entry. It's meaningless. It's all just circling around the drain right now anyway. But China and the BRICS nations have finalized a deal. They're starting their own currency exchange, their own FX currency exchange, where they will evaluate one another's currency without the dollar. They're cutting us out of it entirely. So something will be done sooner than later because they don't want to let China out of the club, shall we say. We don't want China to join a different country club. They want China to stay in the country club that's already been constructed. And, you know, another great thing with this monetary system that they're talking about, you wouldn't be able to just increase, you'll like this, you wouldn't be able to increase your defense spending. Well, you can't do that. You'd have to take away from something else. You're not going to be able to just, you know, rack up a bunch of war debt. That won't be possible. It's quite an interesting system. And I don't have it all sorted out yet. And I haven't had time to sort it all out. But I understand part of it, at least. Well, you're right. They do have to include China and the BRICS nations, or it will fail. And it will fail in probably nuclear war, perhaps, I don't know. Depends on how serious one group is against the other. But I think if we look at what's going on in Syria, Libya, Lebanon, the Sudan, Iraq, Afghanistan, we can kind of tell how serious they are, the powers that be. They're pretty damn serious. And in fact, I would venture to go out on a limb and say that they fall under that organization that has engaged or engages in terrorism. Certainly, the United States government and the financial actors who sponsor our government have been engaged in financial terrorism against the American people for a very long time. And I don't think anyone can seriously, with a straight face, deny that. I mean, in 1863, we had President Lincoln nationalized our banking system with the express intent of bankrupting independent banks. Then we had the theft, outright theft, when they monetized silver in 1873. Then again in 1904, the panic in 1904. And then finally culminating in the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 with the first issuance of Federal Reserve paper coming out in 1914. And then again, the government confiscating the gold, the real money, of the people under threat of prison. I'd say that's financial terrorism to a T. And yet, there are so many people. No, 1933, March 3rd, 1933. That was the day that the Gold Act went into effect under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And they began en masse confiscating people's gold and replacing it with worthless paper. Absolutely treasonous. And yet, people persist to this day in believing that if they can only go to the ballot box and get enough of their friends to go and elect just the right guy, we can fix this. People still believe that. People still believe that the Republicans are better than the Democrats, or the Democrats are better than the Republicans. People still believe this nonsense. They believe that one side has a different ideology than the other. Now, I'll grant you, I'll agree that the varying sides have different ideas on how to accomplish controlling your life. You can, it was 1971 is when Nixon violated Bretton Woods Agreement and we came off the gold standard. But the gold standard you're talking about didn't have a damn thing to do with the average American person. It had to do with nations settling their debts between one another, like the U.S. and France. They said, well, the dollar was good as gold. Well, bullshit. It wasn't good as gold. It was the first thing they did. When they violated Bretton Woods, is they devalued the dollar. But you know, when they first, it's interesting, you think about this. No, Nixon was president in 1971. Richard Milhouse Nixon violated the Bretton Woods Agreement, and that's when the gold window was closed. And the only thing other countries could get paid in for their trade deficit with the U.S. was U.S. treasuries, U.S. dollars. And it was between 72 and 75 that Henry Kissinger entered into an agreement with the House of Saud, King Faisal, to the United States would provide military protection and ensure that the Saudi royal family would remain in control in Saudi Arabia in perpetuity through bloodline descendancy. Oh yeah, you're right about that, and that's what I was talking about, Rod. In 1933, when Roosevelt confiscated all the gold, gold at that time was selling for $22 an ounce. After they got everybody's gold and issued everyone paper dollars in place of their gold, at the rate of $22 an ounce, That was your redemption amount. The following day, they revalued gold at $32 an ounce, which devalued everybody's money overnight with the stroke of a pen. Yeah, absolutely. That's called inflation. That's how you just by executive fiat, you write inflation instantly. You inflate the price of everything because you've just devalued all the currency that you just printed and exchanged for all the gold. That $32 an ounce was the problem in 1971, you see, because we were exchanging, we were being forced under Bretton Woods to exchange gold at a fixed rate of $32 an ounce when the market price for gold bullion was well over $600 an ounce. Sometimes, you know, governments, they just don't get it, do they? And that's why Nixon said, hell, at this rate, we're going to be out of gold before long. And he closed the gold window, and we violated Bretton Woods, and no longer were we going to pay out in gold. We would pay out in dollars. Why do we keep electing crooks? Because that's who always runs for office. They're on the ballot. That's why. And that's why going out and punching the ballot isn't going to get you what you think. It's not going to gain you a victory. No knight in shining armor is going to swoop in and save the day. It's just not going to happen. But God, people still believe it. Yeah, people still believe it. And they still believe that there is any discernible difference between the two parties. There's just not. We have had a fairly equal split between Republican and Democrat control for the last 80-plus years. We know the result. We know the end result of that process. It's where we are today. Why anyone believes that going forward, the process will change or the outcome will get better somehow by some miracle is beyond me. Because that's exactly what it would take. For any actual change to occur, it would take a damned miracle. And it looks to me like we're fresh out of those right now. Guys, if you want to call in and comment, you're welcome to call in. Our call-in number is 646-378-0321. Again, that is 646-378-0321. I'm going to throw that up in the chat room, just so that my folks in the chat can see it. You guys call in. Let me know what's on your mind. I've been really out of the loop, so I could use the conversation and the filler, quite honestly, because I don't have a whole lot else. I really need to just have a cocktail and relax, but I would love it if someone would call in. Miss Linda, Mikey B., Rod, Yola, Nick, somebody call on in and tell me what's on your mind. What's bothering you today? Other than my terrible attempt at putting on a radio show. Still working from home. Man, you got slave labor or slave hours over there, dude. You need to call Massa and tell him you need to make a phone call. Aren't you entitled to one phone call? I'm just kidding you, Mikey. I love you, brother. You know it. Yep, I do believe, boys and girls, that we're getting very close. How close is very close? Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, honest to goodness, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 years. But we're in a window, we're in a time frame. And it's getting closer and closer every day. Well, Rod, if you had to pay for a root canal, I hope you have a dentist like mine here in Georgia that will work for cash and gives a substantial discount if you don't need a receipt. Those are the dentists that I like to work with, and the guy's fantastic. Otherwise, you can always sneak across the border to Mexico, but I don't know. These days, I don't think I'd risk that. You know, it used to be, back in the day, it wasn't such a big deal. you could go down there and get some pretty damn fine dental work for pretty inexpensively. But these days, I'd be worried about making it back home. You might end up with an Uzi that you didn't have when you went down there. Wow. My blushing bride is going to capture another phone call for me. These people just insist on interrupting when I'm on the radio. And that really irritates the crap out of me. And it's probably some political call. You know, these guys, it's that time of year. And, you know, on that note, last night, I was able to sit and watch a television show. Used to, it was a movie years ago, but I've discussed it here on the show. But it was still an oldie but a goodie, and definitely worth watching. And that was Eddie Murphy in The Distinguished Gentleman. You know, if you have never seen The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy, you owe it to yourself to find that video, rent it. Hell, it's probably available on YouTube for free by now. But you know, in the movie, Eddie Murphy's a con man, and his mother is just distraught. And her son, the criminal, you know, this con man, he's making pretty good money. And he's him and his cousin, Loretta, they had set up a 900 sex line to girls from many nations. Anyway, his mom was really torqued, and they were using her phone, and she got pretty upset. And then the news came on, and a congressman in their district had died. And he had the same name, Jeff Johnson. So Eddie Murphy gets the idea he's going to run for office. It's the biggest con ever. And he's talking about all the money in Washington, D.C. And how, I mean, this was a huge con. And he was explaining to everybody how great it would be. And the thing is, he actually gets elected because he has the same name. And that's just creatures of habit. People will do that. Sure enough, he skated in just on name recognition. And he got to Washington. And when he started realizing all the money that was being thrown at him, he realized that he was just a small-time pimple on a flea's butt compared to the money these boys were hauling down. And he just had it. He was loving it. It's a good movie. If you ever get a chance, you should watch it because it is so accurate and to the truth, to the point of how our government runs. And, you know, I was going to talk about that tonight. You know, they say fascism is a marriage of the corporate and the state. But I don't believe the system we're operating under is fascism. I believe it's social harlotry. Because there is no marriage between the corporations and the state. No, the state is whoring itself out to the corporations like a harlot. There's really no comparison. It's just amazing. It's breathtaking, actually. And that these people actually stand up and stare into the camera and pretend that they have a moral compass, that they have any principles, that they have any freaking integrity at all. Just pisses me off. And the fact that the American people continue to go into the electing voting booth and pull the lever or punch the card proves that it is they get the government they deserve. And we have on the line with us the always lovely Miss Linda Sills from California. How are you, Miss Linda?
Oh, just surviving. We do have a bit of a – we have a fascist up in Sacramento. His name's Jerry Brown, and he has just signed a few days ago another anti-gun law, which would never stand up in a high court because he has violated not only the Second, but probably the Fourth and Fifth Amendments as well with this law. I'm surprised he didn't go after the Third Amendment, to be quite frank with you. He, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got this law that states that anyone, you're going to love this, anyone like a neighbor or your family member can say that you are a danger to yourself or someone in the neighborhood or family. They go behind closed doors. You're not even aware of this. You don't get to face your accusers. The whole thing is absolute. And they can come with the SWAT team and take your freaking guns away. No court, nothing.
Or they can get shot. That's, you know, look, that's California for you, you know. I mean, just damn.
It's insane.
And, you know, I was out in Colorado, and I'll tell you, I had forgotten just how damned liberal and progressive Coloradoans have become. One of the reasons I fled that state in 1988, and it's a great place to visit as long as you don't mind a bunch of women in comfortable shoes and a lot of Birkenstock sandals around there, you know, and the stoners. Of course, I didn't see a lot of that. But people were very, you know, it was very laid back, as you should expect. You know, everyone's just in their little groove. Everyone was very polite, a little slower pace. My God, there's nowhere near the traffic we have here in Atlanta.
Right.
But the people were just polite to the point of being nauseating. I mean, there is such a thing as, okay, you can take the lip lock off my behind now. I've got leech marks on my backside because, you know, I'm just buying a beer and a cheeseburger. It's okay. I mean, they are so desperate for revenues. I mean, I get it. You're running retail. I understand, but wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. We've got the bag, the ban, and of course, I got ready to send a letter to this new mayor. He's about as Republican as Barry. I mean, like you say, the paradigm is so ridiculous. It's not even worth talking about anymore. So good old Kevin Boxer, who took the place of the mayor that they ousted, Filthy Filner, which I'm sure you've heard of him, because he actually made national news with his groping and all the rest of it.
So
this clown gets in because the voters thought, okay, well, we've had enough of Dems for a bit, and so they tried this republic. You know, that's what I call – I stole that from Mark Levin. republics. Anyway, so now he's pushing huge, hot, heavy, and hard on the global warming, climate change, green San Diego, and just – pushing Agenda 21 to the limit. It's really frightening. So I don't know how much longer I have to stay here, but we'll see. Kind of, it also depends
Absolutely.
On what happens with this mobile home park, because we've only got 5 years for the lease to run out, and our owner is the owner of this park or whatever the business. We're fighting it. We're trying to sue. I don't even know if we haven't even filed the suit yet. So, God, it's just going to, I don't know. All I know is I'm going to keep watching writing on the wall and then make my escape plan. You know, that's all I can do.
I'm telling you right now, and you know I watch the markets, and
right.
I haven't watched them as diligently as I usually do. And when I say the markets, I'm not talking about the stock market, because I could give a damn less about that. That is
right.
A dog and pony show at this point, this stage of the game. But I do keep an eye on the currency and the metals. And I know that is also hypothecated 100-to-1.
God.
Whoops. I'm still here. Okay. You still got me?
Yeah. Still here.
Okay. But I know that's hypothecated 100-to-1. And it still gives us an inkling of a clue. Today is the first day in over a week that we've seen a move slightly positive in the ratio. Remember, I've talked about that previously?
Yeah.
the gold and silver ratio. Do you know what the gold-silver ratio was last week?
No.
71 to 1.
Oh, boy. Isn't it supposed to be in the 60s?
Well, 71 ounces of silver to purchase 1 ounce of gold. The natural occurrence, the natural ratio that gets pulled out of the ground, depending on who you listen to, is between 16 and 20 to 1.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh.
So for every ounce of gold they pull out of the ground, they get about 16 to 20 ounces of silver. So that's the natural market ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Silver is consumed much more widely as a commodity than gold is. So when I see the ratio skewed that far, well, I believe and I'm certain that, you know, the plan is, I had said, I don't know, over a year ago that it was going to be a 40% backed SDR. 40%, 50%. You're going to be somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
At 50%, they've got gold revaluation would have to be somewhere near $9,000 an ounce. At 40%, it's going to be north of 10 grand an ounce.
Oh, my gosh.
But as it stands, you're still running a very skewed ratio. And as long as that ratio stays up around 65 to 70, my bet is to buy silver, and when that ratio comes down to about 28, that's when you exchange your silver for gold.
Yes.
28 to 30, somewhere in that range. And inevitably, through manipulation, it'll go back the other way. Because quite honestly, if you had, let's say you had $10,000 an ounce gold, all right, let's just do some quick round numbers. Divided by 20 means that silver would be $500 an ounce.
Whoa.
If you were at a 20 to 1 ratio. If you had $10,000 an ounce gold and it was 50 to 1, you'd be at $200 an ounce silver. I have constantly said that it's not the dollar figure you need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I watch the ratio, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be fooled. The paper is the thing that's changing in value. The gold and silver is not changing in value. It has the same value today that it had 5,000 years ago. It'll buy the same amount of product.
Mm-hmm.
The same intrinsic value. So what may well happen when you see a revaluation is people are going to cash in.
Oh.
Get that $9,000 an ounce, right? But what are they going to have?
Oh, man.
They're going to have strips of paper, and that valuation is not going to stay at $9,000 an ounce. And their paper is not going to stay there either.
Wow.
But I still think that everyone, to be smart, you should have 20% of your excess earnings, your earnings, you know, 20% of your portfolio. I know not everyone has a portfolio, myself included, but at least 20% in metals. And I think if you can, if you're in a position to, property, undeveloped property is another good thing to have. But you also need to have other commodities, food, water, salt, sugar. You know, cigarettes would be a great commodity right now. Cases and cases of cigarettes.
Wow.
They would be the ultimate barter, if you think about it.
Sure.
So just, you know, looking at things that try to diversify yourself a little bit and make sure that you're covering as many bases as you can without spreading yourself too thin. And you have to go about it in the thinking that what if there was no banking? I couldn't use my debit card or mm-hmm. any electronic benefits, or, you know, I couldn't pull money out of the bank, and I had to survive for 3 months. What would I need? What would I need to do?
Yeah, people, you know, in our community, because of the financial craziness and the high rents, et cetera, here, and we have a lot of retired vets who live on fixed incomes and seniors as well who don't have portfolios either. And they actually use barter systems because a lot of these people have skill sets that we can trade back and forth and do.
Sure.
Because they know what's coming as well. I mean, not all, but, you know, it's just – and it's really a good habit to get into. So, you know, it's like the lady next door is an incredible barber and hair cutter and all that stuff. And the lady down the street, she does pedicures and manicures and all sorts of detailed, you know, nursing skills. And I do cooking. I can do bartending. And
let's be clear, Linda. I know that everybody is giving the other a 1099, aren't they?
Nope. Not in my neighborhood.
Because, you know, according to the IRS circular 214 or whatever the hell it is, the IRS actually claims, they make the claim that if you had a bushel of apples mm-hmm. and I had a bushel of peaches, right? You had an apple tree and I got a peach tree. And let's say that a bushel of peaches goes for $20 and a bushel of apples goes for $20. If you and I traded, you wanted some peaches and I wanted some apples because I'm tired of eating peaches. So we trade, we barter, we just swap. Well, according to the IRS, you, Miss Linda, are supposed to claim the fair market value of that bushel of peaches as income. And I, in turn, I am supposed to claim the bushel of apples fair market value as income, even though it was a straight trade, barter, straight up swap.
Which is horse feathers,
no,
because if I take $20 to the market, you know, it is, because if I go down and buy some ground beef from Stater's, nobody's considering that's a trade, even though it's fiat currency. They're not telling me
that
I have
income. Well, sure, but
it's
still barter. Right. It's still barter. We've talked about that. Whether you use paper or not, it's still barter. And
well,
so is my time.
Sense.
You know,
right.
So is my time.
Right.
The company that I'm working for, I'm dedicating my time to, you know, they're not giving me an increase.
Mm-mm.
They're just giving me
compensation.
A straight trade for my time, for my labor.
Yep. And,
it's not income. See, when you really break it down to the simplest basics, it's not income. See, in order to earn income, you have to employ labor. And if you're the employee, you're not the employer, you're not employing anything.
Oh, I get it. This is basic Econ 101. I mean, I get the whole deal. It's von Mises, it's Hayek, and it's Adam Smith. I understand. But we have an illegitimate government run by psychotic people. People have to wrap their heads around us. They just, you know.
They don't.
No. No, they don't. It's just too much for them, I guess. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. And my IQ is not that high, but I get it. I know it took a long time for you to explain things to me, but on my own, I was like listening to you the same way we listened to Miss Terry Rowland, and we turned into lifetime learners. And I started digging around on my own to figure it out. I figured it out. You know?
It's great when the doors unlock and the light bulb comes on, you're like, son of a gun. Yes, dang it. Man, I never knew that. And now I know what he was talking about. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
Yep.
You know, as I said, a buddy of mine told me once that, you know, I would have people come in and they would strike up a conversation, and all they had to do was just crack the door open a little bit, and, man, I'd bust in like a charging bull. And he said, dude, he said, you're talking to these people. He said, it's like they're trying to get a drink from a fire hydrant. You know, you're just like... whoosh, and they can't handle it. It's squirting out their eyes and their ears, and it's just, you know, and they turn away. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. I can't help it, but I've got this knowledge that I am compelled to share.
I know. I mean, I go through the same thing. I mean, I probably, when all this nonsense is over with the election and I have a little more time, there will be another speech in front of the city council, because what they've been saying recently for the last 4 to 5 days, the chemtrails in this city, believable, and it's just evil. And they start this nonsense about 5 in the morning and they don't finish till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It's horrible. And I actually have pictures, and there will be some discussion, and I'm not going to try to give them the fire hydrant, but I will try to connect the dots for these moronic nut jobs. And I'm going to say, what are you going to do to stop it? This is your city.
Well, and I know you've run across this because of how involved you've been on your local level. The other side of the fire hydrant thing is that when you try to slow it down and dumb it down, people, their own preconceived ideas and beliefs just get in the way. They're like a damn roadblock. They're like a door slamming in your face. No, that's not the way it works. You don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy. Some conspiracy theorist. You know, we're sitting around the dinner table at my mother-in-law's talking, and my wife, of all people, God bless her, I love her to death, we got on the topic of conspiracy theories. And I said, well, you know, I was telling my sister-in-law, I said, part of the problem is that you have been indoctrinated to view the word conspiracy in a negative connotation. So it automatically means something dirty, underhanded, for illegal purposes, and many times it is. But a conspiracy can be something as innocuous as two people coming together, working towards an agenda. That agenda may be perfectly righteous and right and pure and not underhanded or deceitful at all. So just thinking that conspiracy immediately means bad and crazy, that's what you've been conditioned to respond.
Believe.
And you don't even realize it. You don't even realize that you do it.
And the other thing that they don't get is there's such a thing as a conspiracy theory versus a conspiracy because, you know, they will throw this word at you, theory, all day long, and I'm going, well, that's fine, but this is not a theory. This is real. And they go,
well,
oh, that can't be.
Conspiracy,
you know.
Conspiracy fact is really simple to explain. Congress, everything Congress does is a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Every act that gets passed into law is a conspiracy. It is two or more people conspiring to bring about a specific outcome.
Right.
Government in and of itself is a conspiracy. Now, granted, more times than not, when government is involved in their conspiracies, it's not good for you and I. But they say it's not illegal. It's legal. It's okay. Everything's just fine. Kind of like that article about the young man being arrested for wanting to fly to Istanbul, Turkey, and join the folks that are fighting, well, supposedly fighting our government. And yet our government can violate the very same law that they're charging this young man under. And this young man has not caused the death, as far as we know, of a single human being. Not one.
I know.
But the government cannot make that claim. The government absolutely cannot make that claim. In fact, we could make the claim that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is personally and wholly responsible for the death of Ambassador Stevens
and the other
and
three.
The security detail and the other gentleman that came to his aid. Because it was a direct result of giving aid and support to a terrorist organization. That's what they were doing. They were selling or giving arms to a group of scumbags whom they armed to overthrow the legitimate government of Libya and murder its leader, Muammar Gaddafi. Not that I've got any fondness in my heart for Mr. Gaddafi or his views or his politics or his ideology, But the plain and simple fact was, when I watched that video, I was disgusted because it was purely cold-blooded murder. Nothing but savage murder.
Assassination.
And the people that applauded that action should be ashamed of themselves, because it was disgusting and it was deplorable. And I don't know how any decent human being could think that that was a good thing.
Well, and we're going back to the same thing where people, A, they don't do their research, and B, nobody reads history, so they can't even connect the dots from A, B, and C. I mean, what they did to the stars was absolutely illegal, and in every probably country in the world. That was a coup that was, I mean, they took them out in the middle of the night. There was nothing public about it. It was horrible. Again, people do not read history, so they can't. And the other thing, when you talk about these things passed by Congress and they start making these ridiculous laws and they go, oh, well, it's perfectly legitimate and now this is legal. Well, we can go to look at Hitler and everything that his little Gestapo did under that regime at the time was.
It's exactly the same thing they claimed. They claimed state sovereignty and the whole nine yards, and that didn't, I mean, you know, it's just the same freaking thing, different driver. Same car, different driver at the wheel. And I'm sorry. You know, there are so damn many hypocrites out there.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely kills me to see the hypocrisy of the human species as we go about, you know, we talk about liberty and justice and all men are created equal as long as you're an American citizen. You know, I mean, that's crap. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be, you know, dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Oh, gosh, you know, the poor Muslims and the poor this and the poor that. But let's call a spade a spade, you know.
Sure.
I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer in you as the golden rule. You treat everyone the way you want to be treated.
Right, and
period.
That was one of the two great
commandments.
What
the hell is wrong with that?
Nothing, and everything. I've got a couple pretty good pieces for my show if the candidates don't show up. Talking about the biblical aspect of all this, differentiate between borders as far as love thy neighbor. he meant what he said. He wasn't drawing lines in the sand or anything else.
I'll tell you a good one that I think everyone should read, and I'm going to go back and reread it soon. Go read the Gospel of Thomas.
Okay. Oh, the Doubting Thomas?
Go read the Gospel of Thomas. You won't find it in your Bible, by the way.
Oh.
You'll have to look for it online because it's not in the Bible.
Wow.
It wasn't deemed worthy. But, you know, that's an interesting gospel. I'll let everyone read it for themselves. I'm not going to try and tell you what to think, but it's interesting. And he's been waiting very patiently, and I've only got about 19 minutes left, so I'm going to bring in the second angry Jew, Mr. Robert Kaplan. Maybe he should have ran as Jeff Johnson. Jeff, vote for Jeff, the name you know.
Oy vey.
Mr. Robert. Oy vey.
Mr. Robert.
You know that, have you seen that movie? Have you seen that movie, The Distinguished Gentleman?
I need to get it. I need to take a day off because I am so wiped out, Ron. I am
oh
so
my
tired.
Gosh,
I feel
I feel like that was one of the best scenes in the damn movie.
I feel like I've had a 19-pound baby already.
Well, maybe you have. I didn't. You know, you could be the first man. That'd be a.
Oh
my God! You could be pretty wealthy. You know, Robert, in this movie. Hold on. In this movie, the Distinguished Gentleman, Eddie Murphy goes to this lady who's the head of the Silver Fox Party, right, which is a bunch of retired folks down in Florida. But they're the second largest voting bloc in the U.S. And he gets her, and he enlists her help. But as he's talking to her, and she's this little old Jewish lady, and she starts speaking in Yiddish, right? And Eddie Murphy looks at her, and he speaks back to her in Yiddish. And the other old black guy that's with him goes, wait, time out. He said, where in the hell did you learn to speak Yiddish? And what did you just say? And he's laughing. He says, she said if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Oh, that's funny. That is really funny. Rod, I wrote this day, my speech, my David Tubman speech, the day before Young Kipper Wallace fasting. And there's a picture I have. Life is the most difficult exam. Many people fail because they try to copy others, not realizing that everyone has a different question paper, which is a blank piece of paper, right? So this is what I wrote for my Yom Kippur speech, and I've given it to you. I said, Sandy Koufax, pitcher for the L.A. Dodgers, never pitched during Yom Kippur. Julio Gonzalez, M.D., could never, ever copy my dad, Samuel E. Kaplan, M.D., co-founder of Venice Community Hospital, because as far as I'm concerned, his campaign for Florida State Representative represents a blank piece of paper. Because ambition does equal leadership, and the rule of thumb for this campaign is things speak for themselves, and it is the rule of law, and the people for District 74, Sarasota County, Florida, does not represent a blank piece of paper, as I feel I passed the exam for the office of Florida State Representative, District 74, Sarasota County, Florida. Here is a hint to fill the blank piece of paper for Julio Gonzalez, MD, fundraisers. Bermuda Triangle, 48K on Scott's dime, times 1 to 3, 1, 1, 3, 1 state employees because of salary wage cuts, spending $1 million as a Florida State Representative salary is $30K a year. Divide $30K to $1 million and you get 3 cents. Having mandates on insurance premiums for municipalities and having government control the whole thing. Last but not least, giving Debbie Wasserman Schultz $500 to Debbie Wasserman Schultz to talk about health care. I am electing Julio Gonzalez, MD, JD, for Attorney General to replace Eric Holder, as he needs to repent for his sins and attacking me throughout this campaign. Now I must fast and repent for Julio tonight and all day tomorrow for the sins he has committed towards me. After Yom Kippur, I will pitch one last final curveball to Julio, as this is my last speech, as I have to fast now. Good Yom Kippur to all, and have a good fast, and be safe during this Day of Atonement. May God bless Israel, and God bless America. And then I said, I bet you $1 he will not call me for a debate or even respond to this message. That was number one. Number two. Not only my freedom of speech rights were stifled by the Sarasota Herald Tribune, St. Pete Times and Tampa Tribune, and even the Observer, I believe my freedom of speech rights were stifled by Julio Gonzalez, MD, which he thinks justice for him. Not only did he disenfranchise 14,000 votes for the race of District 74, Sarasota County, Florida, he disenfranchised justice to no end, because Julio Gonzalez only thinks of himself instead of things speak for themselves, which is analogous to social justice. Please fast and remember in remembrance of me on the Day of Atonement for the forgiveness of sins, as all of you who have attacked me need to repent for social justice. If I die tomorrow, at least I stood my ground for hatred and bigotry that exists in my hometown. My constitutional attorney and campaign manager have a copy of my message, the Day of Atonement message. And the Jeremy Wallace Sarasota Herald Tribune, quit mocking the $30K salary for pilot's race 2 as I am glad I missed his debate at Selby's Library, Sarasota, Florida, as he does not deserve to be Florida State Representative for District 72 either. I bet $1 that Julio Gonzalez, MD, does not respond to my message as I staffled their freedom of speech rights against me. But my phone number, call me for another debate without Nancy Dietart, the state senator, and Kathy Dent, who is the election supervisor, too, as I will continue to harass you to no end for another debate. Welcome to the real world, Julio and Jeremy Wallace. That was my Young Tipper speech to them, to Sarasota County, Florida. Today I called the Sarasota Sheriff's Department, talked to the dispatcher, and I said, if I get run over off the road again by Julio Gonzalez's drivers, and if anybody gets hurt because of me, I will be coming after you. Send that to Sheriff Knight for me. And then I stopped in the median and told the sheriff the same thing while he was writing a citation. And then this afternoon, I stood in Osprey, Florida, in a small town right next to Julio's big sign, and just started waving my card to the drivers. I slowed traffic down today. So I'm done. I'm done, Ron. I'm done. I'm finished. I went to Sarasota Herald Tribune. You know what he said? We can't take just people off the streets and so you can talk to us. I said, is that so? I'm a citizen. I'm not a people off the streets. And I'm running for office. And I wrote that today in Facebook too. So as far as I'm concerned, they can all go to hell, Ron, and drop dead. That's it. I'm done. I did it, Ron. I want my debate. They won't debate me again.
Well,
hello.
Well,
what?
Yeah, no, you're not surprised, are you?
No, I'm not surprised. They're assholes and they're bigots. Bottom line is they hate me because I'm a Jew. I don't care. I've known that all along. But that's besides the point. Besides the point is I know the scam of Venice Hospital, and the scam is, the scam of Venice Community Hospital being sold is because the large for-profit representatives, as they were called, were calling on Venice Hospital because Medicare made Venice Community Hospital negative before my father died. So they blamed Medicare for the selling of Venice Community Hospital, which was a scam. So God only knows how much monies that my father raised before Venice Community Hospital was founded. He raised the money, formed the Venice Community Foundation, and when Venice Community Hospital was sold, those monies were divided, God only knows to how many physicians for the sale. Okay?
Well,
that's
yeah,
the real story.
It's nothing new.
They took my father's fame away from him. That's what they did. They took him away from me, too. And my brother, but I don't care about him either because, guess what, Ron? There was a lookalike picture of my brother that looks like me at one of Julio Gonzalez's daughter's function. So, you know, I slapped my brother, too. I called him a Jewish doc stooge. Okay.
Well, I know you shouldn't be surprised, Robert. And I, you know, I admire people that believe, and I think a lot of folks get involved in politics believing
right.
that they're going to make a difference, that they're going to be the one to go and change Washington, and they find out that...
I don't care if I go to Washington. The thing is, I found the truth. I found the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the sad thing about it, Ron, a guy at colleges who played with the Sarasota Jazz Ensemble with me when I was with them for 8 years, he came into this town the same time Julio came into this town. And now he's
I don't even know. I don't want to know what instrument he plays.
he sucked on a trumpet is what he did. Okay? And he lived out in San Diego, Linda, near you.
Oh, wow.
Okay? He lives out there. So his name is Bob Simo. Okay? And he every idea I have for the Sarasota Jazz Ensemble, he wanted to take it over from me because he was a big ass doctor in town. Okay, so I put the whole story together, Young Kipper Eve.
Now wait a minute. I'm confused. First, you said he was a gynecologist. Now you said he's a big ass doctor. Is he a proctologist or a gynecologist?
He's a mass and a gynecologist at the same time.
You see what I did there? I'm just messing with you.
I know you're throwing a curveball at me, trying to dilute it, but it didn't work. But you know, but Ron, that's the whole everybody. See, he was trying. Julian Gonzalez was trying to claim he was a real pillar of the community since he's running for office. He's not a pillar at all. He came 10 years ago. What's 10 years ago? 2004. The selling to the hospital was in 1995. It was 1995, and then my dad died three days later. So these two guys were instrumental in the sale of this community hospital. It's sickening. It really is, because my father and the Four Horsemen, and I thought Murphy, this is what kicked me off. He made a comment, Ron. He said, Venice Regional Hospital was a large, he made the remark, Venice Community Hospital sold by Venice Regional Hospital was a non-for-profit hospital, but Venice Community was non-profit. So my campaign was non-profit means for the cause, and non-for-profit means privatization. And I won that debate too, okay? So as far as now all the Republican signs now, Ron, they're all together. At the Republic, I never seen so many signs in my life in this town. I pissed them off so badly that they have to stick together because they know they're losing. Because I read in the paper yesterday about Charlie Crist's platform, and that son of a bitch just basically stole what I believed in. He stole my platform, Ron. What a bastard. And you know what? He's only up by 0.33% of Chris, which is the same salary of $30,000 divided by $1 million, 3 cents. So they're only worth 3 cents.
Well, I'm going to say goodnight to you guys and let you wrap it up, and thanks for taking my call. That was a great show, and Robert, good luck to you in this upcoming November
4th. I'm done, Linda. I love you, Linda, and thank you for everything what you've done for me, because you taught me a lot, too.
Thank you. Good night, guys, and be blessed.
God bless. God bless. Thanks for calling in, Miss Linda and Mr. Kaplan, running for office down there in Florida. And I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in. I hope that I can give you a better show next week than I did this week. Been a bit of a transition phase for me, and I've just been out of the loop a little bit for the last week or so. Don't forget to tune in here tomorrow night, 7 p.m., for the Hoot and Holler Show right here on Patriot Family. And then again on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., for the always wonderful Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And then on Thursday night, I'd like you to look out for Mikey B. at Higher Truth Radio. He won't be here on Patriot Families, but he will be on Blog Talk, 8 p.m. Check him out. Mikey always has an interesting show. I want to thank Doc and FT and Lady Michelle, Linda, Yola and Nick, Rod Luke, Mr. Robert Kaplan, and anybody else that might have been listening was not in the chat room. I want to thank you also for your support. Remember, patriotfamilieswithays.com. And, you know, if you get a chance to donate at Patriot Families, I sure would appreciate it. I'm not going to beg, but, you know, if you get a couple extra bucks, throw our way to help support the website, that would be awesome. You guys have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Anne Murray. And sure could use a little good news today. God bless.
I rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was talking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story is one more than I can stand. Just one, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchorman talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody left.